Good evening and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast topic is What Comes After Trump? Brought to you by eternallyfairsmedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of the book Dark Water, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamediaonline. Or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Help keep the truth online. So we're going to start off with a prayer as we always do. Tonight's prayer is going to be for our great president, Donald Trump, and his great leadership. The time that times he's going through and the time our great nation is going through. Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray in your great name to protect and guide our wonderful President Donald Trump. Keep his godly, his godly coverage over our nation. Let's pray that your wisdom shines upon him. That he maintains his ability to lead and lead our nation back to God, back to you, and back to what once was a truly great nation. We pray these things for you, for us, for our great nation and our entire world in your heavenly name. Amen. I'm going to start off tonight a little bit different. I had an interesting experience. Now we're going to get to the topic of the evening. But just to prove the stupidity that is going on in our nation and with our people. So I work in the technical industry. We work with the websites and that sort of thing. I got a call today from a fellow that said, can you check on my service ticket? So I looked at his ticket. Nothing had been done with it yet. It was late in the afternoon. I said, sir, I'm looking at this ticket and there's absolutely nothing wrong. He says, what do you mean? Your things are showing up wrong. Here's the printout. It says everything's wrong. I looked at the printout again. I said, sir, this is the way our system works. Then I asked him, I said, out of curiosity, how long has this problem existed? He goes, oh, ever since we set it up 6 months ago. So I said, well, logical question. What brings you here today? What malfeasance has this caused and why do you believe that we have an issue? Says, oh, my IT department said that we're having email issues, and it's probably because of this. I looked at the errors, and it was normal errors because of the way our system operates. And I explained it to him very politely. I guess he assumed that by explaining the fact that our system was functional in a technical, non-jargon manner, clearly and succinctly, I assume he figured I was placing the blame on his IT department and he was trying to get out of that blame. His response was what amazed the heck out of me. Rather than say, wow, you're a genius or wow, you explained it perfectly. And I did. I gave him all the technical details that he would need. He said, you know, he says, I don't like you and I don't want to talk to you. Give me your supervisor. Of course, I didn't oblige, being the activist that I am. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. He goes, why? Said, they've gone for today. Knowing full well my supervisor actually was still there, but was off on to vacation. I didn't want to trouble her with that. I figured tomorrow's another day, different supervisor. Well, they get me the technician that's working on this ticket. I said, sir. All I see is a ticket status. I said, then the engineers are all gone for the day. So he got really mad. I won't say what he said next. I'm sure I'll hear about it tomorrow. But there's the logical explanation. It's the same thing when you go and you say, look, what has Donald Trump done for this great nation? And, you know, I don't have a lot. I try to keep up with these things. And that's what I do. I write and I'm on this program every Thursday. But I can't keep up with everything. What has Donald Trump done? You know, I can't tell you everything he's done. I can't tell you whether it's good or it's bad. I don't know the inside details and all that, so I've got to do research. But I know one darn thing. In the last 3 years, Donald Trump has brought back over $3,000 a year into my paycheck just by changing some of the rules around and eliminating some of Barack Obama's bad policies. And, you know, for me, that's enough. What has Donald Trump done for this great nation? What has the Democratic Party? What did Barack Obama do? So I tell him, you know, I never had hatred for the man, not like I have for some of the others. But I said, you know what? My wife had health insurance and 32 hours of work until Barack Obama put in the quote, Affordable Health Care Act. Part of that act, a lot of people don't realize, is a an encouragement of businesses to reduce the hours to 30 hours and consider their employees part-time so they can go on that Affordable Health Care Act, which means they have to pay for it. So what did they do? Where my wife works, they immediately dropped everybody down to 30 hours or less and dropped their health insurance. Then I started paying a mandate because while her health insurance was $50 a month and mine was $50, rest paid by the employer, all of a sudden you're looking at $400 or $500 a month to add her on or to get her on that quote Affordable Health Care Act for the minimum plan. It's insane. These are facts. These are my facts. These are firsthand facts. And you know what people tell me? They don't believe it. I've had so many arguments. I'm saying, look, this is firsthand fact. This is not secondhand, not thirdhand, not rhetoric, not rumor. Firsthand facts. And this thing today just brought that back. I had, you know, it had gone out of my mind and it just brought this back with such power and affirmation of the stupidity of this nation. God gave them eyes, but they cannot see. And God gave them ears, but they cannot hear. What will it take to awaken this nation that we're being overrun and overtaken by a Marxist authority? By a new generation that doesn't understand or doesn't listen to fact or reason, creates their own fact and reason from fantasy. Very interesting thing about the Democratic Party. Back in July the 9th of 1896, William Jennings Bryan wrote a long piece. He had a speech he gave. A couple of interesting outtakes, though, that bring us into our topic. Mr. Carlisle said that this was a struggle. This is a Democrat, remember. This was a struggle between the, quote, idle holders of idle capital corporations and the struggling masses who produce the wealth and pay the taxes of the country. And my friends, the question we are here today to decide is, upon which side will the Democratic Party fight? Upon the side of the idle holders of idle capital or upon the side of the struggling masses? That is a question which the party must answer first. Then it must be answered by each individual hereafter. There are two ideas of government. There are those who believe that if you only legislate to make the well-to-do prosperous, their prosperity will leak through upon those below. The democratic idea, however, has been that if you legislate to make the masses prosperous, the prosperity will find its way up through every class which rests upon them. So, interesting thought. Now, he goes on to say one final thing that really intrigues me and brings what's happening today, the split between rural and cities. And our split is rural versus city. It's not white versus black. It's not religion versus atheism. It's not male versus female or ethnic or ethnicity. It's rural versus city. It was predicted by James Madison as the Constitution is being created in the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist papers. It was discussed at length whether to become a democracy or a republic. They chose a republic because it would protect the rural areas and the mass from control by the cities, who had become greedy. That sound familiar? James Madison. So he goes on to say, this is so true even today. This was 1878. You come to us and tell us that the great cities are in favor of the gold standard. We reply that the great cities rest upon our broad and fertile prairies. Burn down your cities and leave our farms, and your cities will spring right back up again as if by magic. But destroy our farms, and the grass will grow in the streets of the city of every country. Because farming, the rural labor, builds the cities. So true today. So what's the topic for tonight? Why do I not have another topic? You know, I had a couple of great topic ideas for this evening, and I stuck to my guns for this one because of the election coming up, because of the path we're following right now, and I'll bring my other ones up in following podcasts. There was a Netflix movie that came out that was going to be my topic for tonight. It was a French movie promoting sexual promiscuity amongst teenagers and youngsters. Very, very disgusting. And Hollywood came back to say, oh, you're gonna apologize to this for this producer when if you watch the film. And it's a Republican thing. Oh, it's QAnon. No, it's not. You do not exploit children in a film like it. You do not show bare breasts and promiscuous acts in a film, no matter how, quote, artful it is. It's wrong. Promotes the wrong attitude, even if you're trying to show it as being a wrong thing to do. That's fodder for a documentary and not to be shown in that manner. But I waylaid that topic. I want to see where that goes over the next week. And possibly that will be the topic for next week because it's very disturbing. And it's more disturbing that what comes from the French who are notoriously corrupt and crude and anti-religious these days. But it still is the fact that it's being supported by all the liberals and all the Christian Republicans and conservatives abhor it. Again, God gave them eyes and ears, but they're not seeing it. They're not getting it. Anyway, on to the topic of the evening. Watching the plan going down, there are a lot of possible outcomes of the November election and a lot of possible outcomes down the road. What I'm not seeing, and from an inside perspective, you know, being in on the inside, working in politics, working in the political system, normally I get intel, which I'm not getting, but there's usually a plan. Sometimes the plan is hidden. Sometimes there are counter plans. You know, the Republican Party is split in two. The Republican Party is the liberal hatefuls, the globalist liberal Republicans that are going against Donald Trump and actually supporting Joe Biden. You know, in my opinion, the party should throw them out. The party should not give them a dime. You know, if you're going to be a Republican, either don't vote or vote Republican. Either support a Republican or don't support a candidate. I know we have the freedom to support and choose who we want, but you're supposed to be supporting and respecting your party, whether it's Democrat or Republican. I wouldn't want to see a Democrat backing a Republican candidate. I'd rather see him stay quiet if they're an elected official. Back your own party. So we have a constant flux. In 2016, I predicted the election with such accuracy from day one that ABC News, the director of ABC News, was calling me on a weekly basis to ask what I thought of the polls. And I'd tell her. She says, no, you're wrong. Hillary Clinton's going to win by a landslide. And as it got closer to the election, those numbers got bigger. Bigger and bigger for Hillary Clinton. And it was funny. We're watching TV. We're watching the results come in. It was about 10 o'clock at night on election night. The results are pouring in. Clinton's winning still. But none of the red states have really come in. Pennsylvania hadn't come in. It was a big one. The phone rings. My wife answers. She goes, it's someone from ABC News. And sure enough, we're watching the ABC News. And she looked dumbfounded. I picked up the phone and I said, sure enough, it's the news director, Andy. So what do you think of the election? Do you think Trump's still going to win? These polls say he's only got 6% of the vote. And I snickered. I said, ma'am, I said, if you run that poll this evening on your news station, you're going to wake up and wish you hadn't run it because you're going to look like a smack backside. She says, are you sure? I said, you can have everything that I own. My land, my home, my bank accounts. You can take it all if I'm wrong. That's how sure I was. Do you know ABC News did not run any polls that night based on that? The next day, I got a call back from the news director again, and she said, thank you. I wanted to thank you. Thank you for saving my reputation and the reputation of ABC News. And ABC News was the only station, the only news station that did not run polls that night, including Fox News. Fox had closer estimate based on other polls, but they were still wrong. My prediction was that Trump would win most likely by electoral college and that the popular vote would be either close or he'd lose. That was predicted before the results were in. That was a prediction I made for 6 months prior. I did it without scientific analyses or scientific data. I did it by reading the newspaper, looking at the mainstream media, and then looking at social media and walking the streets, asking questions of the cities and the streets of the towns, looking at counting the signs, counting the people at the various events held by the candidates. You got to remember that in 2016, Trump was an unknown. Yet he rallied tens of thousands of people at every event. You don't see that in politics these days. You haven't seen that since John F. Kennedy. You know, back in the days, you had Dwight Eisenhower, you had, of course, back to Abe Lincoln. They had their crowds. But not these days. I said, you know what? The crowds and the social media rule. Today we have a problem with that. Because today the polls can't be trusted. The people can't be trusted because the people lie. You know, looking at the rallies Trump's been holding, getting a million tickets for it, finding out that pretty much all of them were put in by young liberal Marxists. Not that it did anything to the rallies. He always has plenty of people at his rallies. And no self-respecting Marxist liberal would actually walk through the doors of one of these things. But still, how can you trust any of the polls when the polls are stacked in that manner? Are these same kids that are playing games with the numbers at Trump's rallies, are they playing games with the polls? Yeah, my sister is pretty, it's funny. My sister always said, whenever somebody polls her, she always makes the polls the way she wants them. Are you voting for Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders? Oh, I'm voting for Joe Biden, of course. Why? Because I want the polls to show Biden's ahead. Then Sanders doesn't get in. Biden loses. So how can you trust the poll? How can you trust any poll? The best poll is what people actually are saying. And that's the scary part today. The scary part right now is that huge batches of supporters of 2016 of Donald Trump, huge batches that supported the first 2 years of the presidency, have turned against Donald Trump. Batches of Republicans that tolerated Donald Trump are vehemently opposing him. And yet, they're being replaced. It's a churn. It's this constant churn. all of a sudden you're getting more and more blacks walking away because of the Black Lives Matter riots and protests. You're getting more and more young people coming on board, primarily in the rural areas. You're seeing people that realize just how bad the Democratic Party is, that they have no meat to what they're saying, that even what they're saying can't be done. And if it were to be done, it would destroy the nation. And yet there are those who powerfully support Joe Biden, or allegedly support him, even though he can't walk a straight line. And the person that would be a second in command is an absolute dangerous criminal. But they support him. I can't predict it. I'd love to be able to predict the election. So what the plan is, and the purpose of this is that we all need to look to ask deep questions. And the parties need to look at this. What is the future of our nation? And what will our nation look like after Trump? Will after Trump be January? Or will after Trump be 2024? There should be a plan for both. And right now, from best I can tell, there is no plan. And there's so many things that could happen based on the rumblings in social media. And it's funny because a lot of people, you know, I try to keep my calm. I've pissed off Facebook a few times. And I fought back. You know, I've threatened legal action. they wanted to take down my five times they took down my post about the nurses and doctors that were at the White House, the video, which has been taken down pretty much everywhere. And finally I downloaded the video and loaded it to my own personal server and dared them to take it down. I told them I would immediately begin a class action suit against them. And I had the support of several members of Congress. And their name on that letter. That video is still up on my Facebook page. But why do I stay with that? Why do people stay with that? Well, if you can. Now, there are certain radicals that are just too off the cuff, and some QAnon and others. And I support all these things. That's the crazy thing. But I keep my opinions on Facebook much lighter, because I want to have enemies on Facebook. I want the radical left to be part of my friend lists, because when they come after me, I can reply. Plus, I can know what they really think and not what they believe in the polls. So the plan for this, what is the plan for the future? And what are the possible outcomes? So we as a nation, we as a people need to decide where we want our country to go. Of course, as a conservative Christian, I want a conservative Christian in charge, and I want a Congress that supports them. And the problem is right now the Congress is split. You know, the people need a leader. But the leader needs an army. The leader needs control and support to be able to accomplish anything. With a split Congress, you can't accomplish anything. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, we love Trump. We want more like Trump, you know? And they're saying, oh, what happens? They're assuming that Trump's going to win in November. Then they're assuming that in 4 years, one of his offspring or close companions will take over the leadership. I don't think his Ivanka, I don't think his brothers, I don't think any of them want to take that position or could win that position. I may be wrong. But I don't know that will happen. for a couple of reasons. And one of them is they're not pushing it at enough yet, or they can't because the election's coming in November. Now, after November, we're going to see more coming out because that'll be the push to 2024. But I don't see a plan right now. And, you know, in government, in business, all good government, all good business has plans. They have a 1-year plan, a 5-year, 10-year, I've said this before, 25-year plan. The Republican and Democrat parties seem to have no plan. And we're winging it. We're winging it based on false information provided by liars and criminals. And assuming that that information is correct. So, what comes after Trump? My personal feeling right now is that unless there's a major change, and anything is possible at this point, but most of the major stupidity of the Democratic Party has only brought them down. It's been mud slung at sand, and their own sandcastles have dropped. But they could come up with something that actually sticks. And that's a scary part. The question is, does Trump and his administration have a plan to counter that? Let's make some predictions first. My first prediction is that in November, that Trump wins the Electoral College by a decent margin and comes closer in popular vote than he did in 2016. I also predict that the House and Senate remain unchanged. There'll be some give and some take, and we'll still have a blue House and a red Senate. It's not what I want, but it's what I predict based on what I'm seeing. So mark that prediction in your book and let's see where it goes. Now, assuming that happens, then what's the plan for the next 4 years if you've got a stuck Congress? The first thing they're going to do if Trump gets in, let's assume that there's a smooth or fairly smooth transition. The first thing they're going to do is find ways to impeach him again. Tie his time up in impeachment hearings. Waste his time so he can't do anything. Then they're going to challenge every stroke of the pen. We'll make some progress, but not a lot. However, that leaves 2024 open. So what's the plan for 2024? I don't see a plan, but we need a strong Christian, conservative individual. Now, Ivanka Trump really does fit that bill, and there are others. But we need a strong presence in 2024, because in 2024, we could stand a chance at that point to recover and win the House back and actually accomplish something with the 4 years of Trump being used to smooth out the additional ripples and tear down some more of Barack Obama's and George Bush Jr.'s bad decisions. But there's no plan in place right now. So we need to keep our eye out, and we need to encourage our state representatives, legislatures, members of Congress to enact some sort of plan to maintain control in some fashion. If we lose the Senate, we've lost it all. I don't think that the Republican Party will lose the Senate. And like people have said, you know, even if it's a bad red member of the Congress, at least it's a red member. And they've been voting pretty much gritting their teeth and voting along party lines, with the exception of a few. So let's make some predictions now. And again, this is the game plan. We need to figure out what the plan is. And as citizens, we should be ready to stand up for our rights. Because in the fall, there could be terrible things happening after the election, regardless of who wins. Or maybe no one will win. Maybe it'll be stuck and stagnate. There are a couple of outcomes if it gets stuck beyond the January 21st deadline. Just heard one today on RT America that they could use, I believe it was a 12th Amendment or 12th Amendment. They could come in and say that it's a stuck election and it will be votes by the states, and the states would each have one vote. And the red states would outnumber the blue and Trump would still win. So everybody that says that Pelosi can take over, that's actually not accurate. That's only accurate if there's a vote in place and it can't be determined when they meet in December. And that could happen. But what's the plan? What's the plan for if Trump should lose in the fall? What's the plan if Trump should lose and we should lose the Senate? You know, there's no plan in place. It's something to really think hard about. You know, we need to get out there and tell our friends and our neighbors, we can't lose this nation. You know, and it's not, again, it's not Democrat versus Republican. It's city versus the rural masses. Cities make up less than 5% of our entire land mass and yet have over 50% of the popular vote. And that's, again, why we were a republic and why we have the Electoral College. Yet states are now saying you need to vote by the popular vote, which is illegal. It's against the Constitution of the United States of America, yet they're going to try and pull that off. And that's something we cannot let them do. We need to go up against that. We need to say the election's unfair if they do that. We have a huge mail-in ballot campaign going too. Some states are shipping ballots to everyone. Even dead people. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with mail-in ballot. There are a few problems, but one of them is that you can get a list of obituaries. You can get a list of people that haven't voted in years. If you're in a state that's not mailing it to everyone, people in nursing homes that may not vote. And you can start swamping you can request the ballots for them. Fill them in however you want. The other issue is that in certain states, and Pennsylvania is one of them, if you choose to have a mail-in ballot and then choose to vote in person, you can do that, but you have to void the mail-in ballot. But there are ways around that. In fact, one Democratic representative in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania actually stated, kind of hinting, he said, and please don't try to take advantage of that potential to double vote. He actually said that. And the way he said it was like, here's how we're going to cheat. We're going to go in, have a mail-in ballot, have a duplicate, vote at the poll, and have a double vote on a provisional ballot, and they won't be able to match the provisional ballots. You have a double vote. He actually said that, please don't do this. Now, why would you do that? You do that because you know they're going to cheat. You know, they don't have eyes and they don't have ears. Nobody will believe. It's a sad situation. Yeah, one of my listeners saying that the mail-in ballots have already disappeared in Nevada and other states too. Now, there are a lot of states that have lost ballots, that there are a lot of double ballots that have been put in and have never been reconciled. And there are hundreds of thousands of ballots that have been found just laying around after the election, whose vote never got counted. So what's the plan for mail-in ballots? There's no plan. There's no plan to ensure a fair election. And what happens if Trump loses and the mail-in ballots come into question? There's no plan of action for that either. You see where I'm getting here? We need to think long and hard. We need to find a plan. If the government is not going to find a plan and our representatives are not going to find a plan, we need to get on them. I mean, I'm always writing to my representatives. One of them owes me a big favor, so he listens to me a lot. I helped get him elected when I was running and decided he had more money than I had. I'm kind of glad I did. I wouldn't want to be down there in D.C. right now anyway. But we need to get in there, and we need to get out, and we need to hammer this. We need to hammer our representatives for a fair election. We need to hammer our representatives for a plan. Ask them what their plan is. Ask, you know, every 2 years, we've got our representatives come up in Congress, in the House. Ask them what their plan is if they lose. I bet they don't have one. Yeah, exactly. Two term limits. And, you know, the whole system is kind of broken. They discuss that again. If you haven't read the Federalist or Anti-Federalist papers, take them to the toilet with you and read them, because they're really worth it, especially the Anti-Federalist papers. James Madison went after that. Because of the fact that 2 years, they said, and in the original, for those who aren't aware of it, the 2 year House term was in, you know, because the House enforces the laws, the Senate enacts the laws, invents the laws and enacts them. So the Senate has a 6 year term because you don't want anybody rushed through an act that's going to last, you know, a lifetime. And in the House, they're supposed to represent you, which means they should be constantly out there running for election. People say, well, that's not a good thing. Well, it is, because if they're out there running and that you don't like them, they're going to lose. Theoretically. And actually, it's the person with the most money that wins anyway. That's the real problem. You know, it's the globalist deep state once again. And the plan is what it's always been. The plan is to incorporate all the nations of the world into one, have the United Nations in control, the World Health Organization controlling the health, have us wearing masks and being pawns to the deep state. That's a plan we need to stop. We need to stop it now. We need more rallies. We need more to go up against them. I was very proud of a few of the rallies we had in Pennsylvania when Trump showed up at La Trobe Airport. And we have one of the worst governors in the United States of America. He says you can't have more than 250 in a crowd, no matter how spread out they are, pretty much. So Trump shows up at La Trobe, quietly was announced he would be showing up. No invitations, no nothing. Over 20,000 people showed up. Not one word out of the governor. You know, that's what we need to do. We just stand up for ourselves, get out there and do it. I'm planning some rallies around here in my area. And you got to stand on the streets and shout it out. We need a free nation. We need someone who's for the people. We need someone who upholds the law of nation and God. Not someone who burns down cities and lets them burn. Not someone who taxes the heck out of you, gives you nothing for it. You know, not someone who gives away free stuff that comes out of the pockets of the middle class. But if we don't speak up, we're going to lose. And we need a plan if we do lose. What is that plan? I don't know yet. I know my plan. Yeah, my plan. I don't even want to say my plan on the air, because I'm part of the 3%ers and some of the other groups out there, and QAnon and some of the others and strong supporters of those groups. But there's a plan. And it's going to be a spur of the moment plan, and it's going to be very interesting if Donald Trump were to lose. And if he wins, we better be prepared to defend the White House, because there's going to be hell bent to pay either way. So what is the plan? Well, I wish there were a plan. I wish we had a plan, but we need to each make up our own plan in our minds. What are you going to do? I've had some people say that if Trump loses in the fall, they're leaving the country. It's not much better out in the rest of the world. But I understand that. But that's at least they have a plan. I would others say they're going to stand up and fight. You have to determine what it's worth to you. What is freedom worth? Always remember our founders who lost everything. I don't think a single one of them had anything left after they the Constitution was written and the nation was founded. And they were all wealthy individuals at the start. They're all gone. They were all, their wealth and family was killed and they were harassed and jailed. That's what made our nation. And yet that rebel cause, that cause that we have and have fought so hard for, is exactly what the liberal Democrat left is trying to break down. So as we come to conclusion, all I can say is we need to be vigilant, stand tall, stand proud, and fight back. We can't be afraid of hurting someone else's feelings. We can't be afraid of the ramifications of doing what's right. We have to use the tools we have to maintain those rights and privileges that we fought so hard to get. We have to fight for a free nation. And yes, there are changes. There are some gives and takes. You know, there's a lot of people in this country all have different feelings and beliefs, but we cannot let one take priority or precedence over another. Neither can we let our values and our Constitution be lost. The First Amendment, our Second Amendment, the right to be able to succeed, the right to be able to survive the womb, come into an environment and live and become productive. You know, I wonder why this nation is actually going down in population, and yet legal and illegal immigration has been up significantly. But if you subtract the abortion rate and the number of children that were aborted and the children they would have had as children, our nation would be strong and powerful. But we've killed off our population. We've murdered our future generation because we want to have fun. We don't want to have commitment. And that same commitment goes to our Second Amendment and First Amendment rights. We don't want them taken away. So I'm going to conclude tonight with a little piece out of Revelation. Where we're headed today, the seventh angel poured his bowl into the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." There were flashes of lightning, voices, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as had never been heard since men were on the earth. So great was the earthquake that the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered great Babylon to make her drain the cup of the fury with his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, heavy as 100 weight, dropped upon men from heaven, till men cursed God in the plague of the hail. So fearful was that plague. And in the end, a new earth is created and a new people. We need to be that new people. We need to prepare. We need to save our nation. God bless all for one of you. Thank you for listening. We'll be here again next Thursday night at the same time with a new topic, current importance. Have a great evening. Thanks for listening. Everybody.